We're continuing in our passage of looking in the book of James. As James talks to the church at Jerusalem, he talks to the churches of the ages. And this morning we continue in James chapter 1, pick up and read in verse 19 and 20. The title of my message this morning is Take Note, Quick, Slow, and Slower, God's Plan for Communication. Stand together with me, please. Out of respect to God's word. James 1, 19 and 20. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slower to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. The main question this morning in this passage is how many bad decisions or arguments or misunderstandings could all be avoided if we simply memorized and applied James 1, 19 to 20 to our lives. Quick to listen, we've got two ears. Slow to speak, we got one mouth. Slower to become angry. Oh, Lord, this morning, help us as we look at anger, that we understand anger is not something that God wants us to be known for. Who would ever think that there would be an angry Christian? An angry Christian. Some might say that person needs to get sanctified. Others would say, no, they need to get saved. That our anger is under control. In Proverbs 15, 18, it says, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. He says things that he shouldn't say, insults people, and he doesn't show the kind of love that he needs to. One time he might insult his spouse, other times it might be their children, or a parent, or a neighbor, or a friend, or a fellow worshiper. In Proverbs 14, 17, it says, a quick-tempered man does foolish things. What kind of foolish things might they do? They might curse. They might break things. And you know, once you throw a vase against the wall because you missed somebody's head when they ducked, and it breaks into a million pieces, you can't put the vase back together again. You can try as you might, but there'll always be a scar there. That person will break things. They'll hurt themselves. They'll hurt others. Ephesians 4:31 says, it tells us as Christians, we need to get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. We're Christians. We're not supposed to act like that. The Bible is talking to us this morning about anger and about losing control. Mark Twain, from an early generation, said it this way, "It takes me a long time to lose my temper, but once I've lost it, I can't find it with a dog." Losing your temper. In James this morning, we're going to be looking at God's plan for communication, God's plan for interpersonal communication, and it really has 3 points here in these two verses. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slower to get angry. Let's look at quick to listen. We have two ears. We need to hear not only what they're saying, but hear their heart. To listen, to cut out all kind of chatter so that we can focus in on what's being said. James here is saying be quick to listen. He's saying be quick to listen to God's word. The best way to listen to God's word is you got to read it. We can't read it for you. We might read it to you, but we can't read it for you and have it applied to your lives. 1 Timothy 2:15 talks about the fact of the importance of reading God's word. As we're quick to listen to his word, it'll involve not just hearing the syllables and the sounds, but it'll involve our heart and hearing the heart of the word as it speaks to us. In Proverbs 18:13, he says, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." You've probably been with people that you carried on a conversation with and you're starting to talk and they really won't let you finish talking because they got to start talking right back to you. It's almost like they like hearing the sound of their voice more than they like hearing the sound of anyone else's voice. When we fail to listen, all kinds of problems happen. We misinterpret what's being said. We jump to conclusions. And basically, we demonstrate a lack of respect for the other person. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, noted theologian in Germany in World War II, in fact, lost his life because he stood up to Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, would not cave in. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, "He who can no longer listen to his brother will soon no longer be listening to God." How sad. How dangerous. Let's be quick to listen. Listen when God is talking to you. Listen when somebody else is talking to you. And we listen to God. We listen to His Word and what it might be saying. But we also listen to the Godhead who's speaking to us. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is God created and is the author of salvation? As Jesus is our Savior and poured out His life for us to be our Redeemer, to become the pathway for us to get to the Father. And as the Holy Spirit comes and convicts and comforts and counsels and cleanses, listen to them. They will not steer you away from God. They will listen. They will point you by what they say and what they do towards the Heavenly Father, towards the Son, towards the Word, towards heaven, that we might be more like what God intended for us to be. We listen to God. We listen to God and how He speaks through others. Dale Carnegie had said this, that you can make more friends in 2 weeks by being a good listener than you can in 2 years by trying to give everybody your advice. 2 weeks of listening. Lord, help us to be one who will listen to others. Just as it's important to listen to God and that we would hear His heartbeat. He created us for relationship. He saved us and sanctifies us for a deeper relationship. He pours out His Spirit among us so to prepare us so that one day we could spend eternity with Him. He created us as eternal beings to be with Him forever, but He also created us to have friends in this life. Other people around us who have wants and have needs, who have heartbeats and heartaches, and we need to listen to them. Slow to speak. Slow to speak. Men and ladies, we have two ears but one tongue. That means that we ought to hear more than we speak. One author says, the two ears are always open, ever ready to receive instruction, but the tongue is surrounded with a double row of teeth to hedge it in so to keep it within its proper bounds. Don't go taking your dentures out just yet. In Colossians 3:8 it says, but now you also put aside all, aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Did you hear about the guy who came up to the pastor and says, Reverend, I only have one talent. And the pastor says, well, what is your talent? I have the gift of criticism. The pastor was very quick and wise when he replied. He says, you know, the Bible says that the guy who had one talent went out and buried it. That's what you ought to do with your talent. Bury the talent of criticism. The person that it's directed to doesn't need to hear it, and you definitely don't need to say it. Slow to speak. My daddy said it another way. Engage my brain before I engage my tongue. Think before you speak. But a lot of times, people will speak and not think at all. They don't think about what they're saying. They don't think about how they're saying it. They don't think about how it'll come across. They don't think about how much hurt it will do. It's just like they're an atom bomb that's just everywhere around them. You can see where they've been. It's just death and destruction everywhere. And it's all because what was spewed out of their mouth. The flip side of being quick to listen. You know, we can't talk and listen at the same time. Maybe mamas can. But most of us, we can't talk and listen at the same time. So to be careful to hear what's being said, to hear the heartbeat behind it, the history behind it, be careful that we don't respond with caustic or sarcastic remarks. If what you want to say is not contributing to the conversation, then why say it? If it's not adding to, if it's taking away from, if it's going to hurt someone, then don't talk. It's better to say nothing than it is to say something that's going to destroy. And Satan will work to get into a family, a marriage, a home, a neighborhood, a church family. And Satan will get in and where people are not listening to one another, everybody's just kind of talking at one another, not to one another, and not hearing their heart. In Proverbs 10:19, it says, when words are many, sin is not absent. He who holds his tongue is wise. It goes on to say in chapter 10, verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth is wicked in all that it is perverse. Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter 4, verse 29 of Ephesians, says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Solomon was wise. In Proverbs 12:18, he says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. To be able to speak healing words, to have healing words spoke to us, it's like putting a salve over a wound. It's like bringing healing where there's hurt and seemingly no hope. But somebody that God used who reflected, and maybe it was someone that you were looking at today, or maybe it's you, who someone heard words of healing and hope rather than hurt and destruction. To the church at Colossae, in Colossians 4:16, it says, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, that you will know and you will respond to each other. You know, we can't control what others say and do, but we can sure control what we say and how we respond. A good voice, a kind voice, turns away wrath. Thomas Jefferson probably gave us, I think, some of the soundest advice other than his writing of the Declaration of Independence. This is what he said. And you know, Thomas Jefferson had real problems with Sam Adams. Or John Adams, I mean. They weren't the best of friends. And interesting, they died the same day in different places. But they managed to work through their difficulties. And this is one thing that Jefferson said that he had learned. He said, once when you get angry, count to 10 before you respond. And if you're really angry, count to 100 before you respond. An outburst of anger can have permanent consequences, not just for others, but for ourselves. Look back, if you would, in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 20, and you would see that Moses himself lost his temper at Meribah, in Numbers 20, and because of that, God did not allow him to enter the promised land. God had given him an instruction to speak to the rock as God instructed him. Instead, he lashed out and he struck the rock with his staff. And God just basically said, okay, buddy, because of your temper tantrum and you're showing your unbelief and failure to believe in me and follow my instruction, you're not going to be able to go into the promised land that you've been leading your people towards. And this is a guy who had been prepared for 80 years before he started the journey of 40 years to get him to the border of the promised land. So when we're 119 years old plus, we still need to listen to the Lord. Amen. Moses got to see into the promised land But he did not get to go there, to be so close, but so far, because he couldn't control his anger. The anger of man is not like the righteousness of God and does not reflect the righteousness to God. We're to be slow to anger, as it says. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. James understood that his people needed to know that sometimes what we say to one another and what we do to one another will hurt and cut to the core. And you know how Satan works? He's going to take the one who's closest to you, and he's going to use them, or he's going to use somebody else, and he's going to come right to the most vulnerable part, the most sore part in your life. And that's where the piercing words of a dagger will go in, and it'll twist and turn till literally you find yourself bleeding out in hurt and despair. God, I don't want to be a dagger in your hand because I didn't listen well. I was too quick to speak, or I lashed out in anger. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Lord, let me act the way that you want to act. Let me listen the way that you told me to listen. Help me to say what you want me to say in the way that you want me to say it, to say it in love, but to say it truthfully. And help me to act in a manner that's going to reflect well on you. Because you and I are the only Jesus some people are ever going to see. If we lash out in anger, anger is a poison and it'll destroy. It's like pouring a heaping bit of salt into a sore wound, and it builds up and it destroys, and the healing that takes place is sore and painful, does not need to be. It's not going to bring righteousness. It's really hard. I'm glad that God's a loving God and a forgiving God. Amen? And he's given every one of us here a second, third, fourth, fifth, or 55th chance. But this thing called Christianity, this thing called living a holy life, does not just get lived out for 1 or 2 hours on Sunday morning, an hour on Sunday night, and an hour in the midweek. It's got to be lived out all the time, every day. I can't act one way at church and another way at home. I knew of a family in which the father at church came across and was perceived as being a very holy, righteous, kind, godly man. But after a while, it wound up that there was some problems with one of his children, and I got involved in a counseling session. This is many, many years ago. And as the kids started to talk, I found out that Dad was one way at church, but he was a totally different way at home. And the kids was lashing out and doing things that were repulsive and embarrassing to the parents. And it was really a reaction to, they were confused and didn't know what to do. How can it be that we're supposed to be one way on Sunday when we're in our Sunday best and dress or suit, but we get at home and the door's shut and Dad's a tyrant? You're the only Jesus some will ever see. I pray that those that are closest to you and I, our spouses, our kids, our neighbors, our grandkids, our parents, will really see Jesus. Because we've been quick to listen. We've been slow to speak. And we've been slower to anger. Lord, help me to show Jesus. See, James, I believe, had the basis of the Sermon on the Mount. He was Jesus' brother, and he was there with the disciples, I'm sure, and traveling around and Jesus teaching. And he'd grown up in the same house with Jesus before Jesus became 30 and started his public ministry. Some of what James is saying to us, I think, is built on the basis of what his brother Jesus said. If you're hit on one cheek, turn and give them the other. If they want your tunic, give them your cloak. If they force you to go 1 mile, go 2. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slower to anger. Charles Spurgeon, who was a noted preacher in an earlier day, volumes of his sermons have been written and recorded. One time he was out to eat at a restaurant, and he kept noticing across the room that there was a very angry-looking man in the dining room that was scowling at him every time that he looked over at the guy. And he's sitting there, and he says, it was really starting to boil in me and work on me. Finally, he decided that he was going to get up and he was going to go over and speak to that man and see what his problem was. However, when he stood up, he realized that what he had been seeing was his own reflection in mirrors that totally surrounded the dining room. We may not always like what we see in the mirror, but the mirror is accurately going to reflect what's being shown. Everyone needs to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slower to get angry. Do you reflect Christ? I'll come back to the question that we began with this morning. How many bad decisions, arguments, and misunderstandings could be avoided if we as God's children memorized and applied James 1, 19 to 20? My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. People around us need to see Jesus. Will they see Jesus in you? You need to see Jesus. Will you see Jesus in those of us that are around you? Stand with me, please. Precious Lord, the psalmist David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today." You know our hearts. You know our heads. You know if we need to have the wax cleaned out of our ears and if our tongue needs to be tamed and if our actions need to be sanctified. Search us today, Lord. This week, we're going to have opportunity literally to be Jesus to someone. I pray that what they see will reflect you. I pray that what they hear will be hearing you. And I pray that how we respond will show them that God loves them and that we love them. And you'll make a way where there seems to be no way. In the sound of my voice this week also, every one of us, Father, we need to see Jesus. I pray that those that we come in contact with will show him by how they listen, how they speak, and how they act. And through all of it, Father, we want to bring honor and glory to you. May your will be done this week in each of our lives. And God's people said, amen. God bless you. Go be Jesus to someone this week.